How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley and 6 p.m. Eastern with me. We're live, pal. Big night last night for WWE in Puerto Rico. Backlash was fantastic. I rarely come on here and I'm so excited about a show like this. You know, you think, oh, it's Backlash. It's not a major top four show. It's not the top five, you know. It's not all in. It's not all out. I had so much fun watching the show last night with my kids, with my wife. I had people over. It was a blast. It was a total blast. I know a lot of people felt the same way. It was just a lot of fun watching. We're going to run down that show. Bad Bunny was tremendous. That crowd was on fire. I would love for them to go back to Puerto Rico. I had a lot of friends at that show, and everybody said that that building was so loud, they couldn't hear a thing this morning. Spoke to my friend Issa. She's been all over the place with this. She had a blast. We'll talk about this. I'm going to talk about this. Also, Garrett Gonzalez, my tag partner on We're Live, Pal. Also co-host on Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave on Saturdays will be joining me to run down all of this. Because there's a lot to talk about. We got Backlash. We got Firm Deletion. If you guys saw the unedited version of this on BR, on Bleacher Report, there's a reason why it was on Bleacher Report. And I'll talk about that. All In, record sales. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. CM Punk news, obviously. We got a busy show here. We got a tremendous show here. Hang out with us for the next hour. We're going to be breaking down all the top stories in professional wrestling. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday edition here, the night after Backlash. I'm joined by, listen, he doesn't need an introduction. You see him every week. He's all over the place. Fight Game Media Network, Wrestling Observer Radio. We're a live pal with me on Tuesdays. The one, the only, Garrett Gonzalez. What's going on, Garrett?
That might not be a good thing, though. I might be overexposed at this point. I may need to cut back on all this stuff. But I'm happy that you asked me to do this because we weren't able to have our Tuesday show normally as we do normally. So it's good to get these reps in with you. I appreciate coming on this weekend.
Listen, you know, we got a busy show. Obviously, we got Backlash. We have All In. I want to talk about Tony Khan losing it on, what was it, Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday? I think he lost it on that guy from ESPN, which, you know, I got to tell you, I smelled that thing from a mile away. So I spoke to someone in AEW. I was like, how many times do people ask you about this? They go, all of a sudden at like 2:30 in the afternoon, everybody got inundated with the same question. So they knew something was up. We're going to talk about this in a whole lot more, but I want to go into Backlash. I want to start off with this. Michael Cole announced 17,944. They did this awesome drone shot on SmackDown and on the pay-per-view. Dude, that crowd was something, huh?
It was amazing. And it didn't feel like every other WWE crowd for these shows where, you know, they kind of shoot it the same. Like, this arena didn't have the giant stage and the, you know, the Tron and all that. So it felt a little different. And I think that's a good thing when you go into these buildings that you haven't gone into in forever. And that's an old school building. It's an old school audience. I thought that part, like right away, they set the tone with, okay, this isn't the same kind of show that you're normally used to watching with us.
And you know what? It goes a long way, right? Like, you didn't have a set. You didn't do the set. You packed that thing as much as you could. You're absolutely right. It looked different. It felt different. The crowd responded differently. And you modified the show for this. We saw it at the end. We saw it in the main event. So I very much enjoy this. So I watched this with the whole family. It was a lot of fun to watch it last night. And listen, the crowd really sold it, right? If that crowd was sitting on their hands the entire night, I don't think we would be here reacting the same way. But the wrestling was really good too. And we'll start off. Great match. Bianca Belair and Io Sky. Bianca retains the title in 18 minutes. Io was over with that crowd.
I think that was the best match of the night. And that's no shade on what Bad Bunny and Priest did later. But as an actual match, wrestling match, I think that was the best one. But there was some scary stuff in that one, too. Bianca did the one-arm press, and she, like, lawn darted Io into the mat. I thought Io was, like, knocked out, but she seemed to be fine. But that was an interesting reaction because Bianca is still a fairly young wrestler, right? She's a fairly young star. And I don't imagine she's had too many times where she's been in the ring and she's been the heel when she's supposed to be the babyface. So that was probably pretty interesting for her, but she worked through it. Io kind of felt that, and I'm sure it helped her have a better match. So that right away, we got a really good match and a really interesting reaction. The heat was tremendous. I thought it set the stage for a really good show.
Yeah, they still had the same match they were going to have, but you could tell Io was definitely fired up from that crowd, and she did modify a little bit, you know? She was, smiling at times and enjoying this, which, listen, man, to get a reaction like that, super, super over. Was LA Knight the night before got a huge reaction by that crowd?
I skip all LA Knight segments, so I couldn't tell you.
Dude, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Whether or not WWE reacts on this, I saw it myself at the Garden. When LA Knight came out, every kid in that building erupted. They love him.
Yeah, I'm anti-LA Knight because everything just feels like a fake Austin and a fake Rock.
I'm fine with it.
if they haven't leaned into it yet because it's working. I can sense with a lot of the fan base that I talk to, people who are more WWE fans than AEW fans. I think they like the fact that he's kind of there and he's popping the crowd, but he's not a star, so he's a little bit of an underdog, and I think it helps. But yeah, I have this kind of fictitious pro wrestling disgust for the character that I like to play up on these shows. But yeah, so, whatever. He's someone who they currently underutilize him. But then the fear, right? The fear is if you overdo it with him, then it kind of turns against. So I think he's doing really good for what they want him now. And then they just got to test it. How much more can we, how much more? The one guy who didn't get destroyed by Bray Wyatt, right? He actually came out of that better than he went in, which is really interesting because that's not the Bray Wyatt narrative.
Well, I after that match, it's a very difficult hole to get out of, the match that they had. And I guess, maybe the audience has felt really bad for him and they decided that they're going to like him now. Very interesting. EO was totally over. I love this match. Great stuff. Rey Mysterio approaches Bad Bunny in the back while he's getting ready, and a huge reaction for Savio Vega, Puerto Rico's hero, leader of the Los Boricuas, TNT.
Yeah, where was the rest of the Boricuas? That's what I wanted to see.
Where's Miguel Perez? Where was Miguel Perez? Where was Jesus? I wanted all of them.
Yeah. That is, you're talking smack dab attitude era WWE. So obviously the hottest the company's ever been. Savio is a hometown hero, but for this audience, the current WWE audience watching, for you and me, it's like, we love that stuff. We love to get popped by guys we haven't seen in a long time.
So excited for this. I went down, by the way, this is a very different format than I normally do every week, by the way, because Garrett's here. So this is like a We're Live Pal plus two. I'm sorry to the guys on Sports Byline. We've changed the format here. I went down a rabbit hole of a bunch of Victor Quiñones stuff like 6 months ago. And Miguel Perez is all over that. And it was awesome to see. It's all like the Wings stuff. So it was like Jason versus Miguel Perez. Or like Freddy Krueger versus Miguel Perez. Or Leatherface and Freddy. Insane stuff. But I went down this whole rabbit hole. If you haven't, just go on YouTube after the show and just start looking up Victor Quiñones promos from Japan and Puerto Rico. It's out of control. It's like a more extreme version of Paul Heyman cutting a promo. Wild stuff. Rey Mysterio approaches him. He hands him a kendo stick with the Puerto Rican flag on it. Very cool. And Bad Bunny's embracing all this. You'd want to talk about a musician that was, headlining Coachella. And now he's wrestling in his home country. Fantastic stuff. Yeah, it's Seth Rollins.
You have to think about this. Yeah. Just real quick, the Bad Bunny thing. Now, Bad Bunny's music, doesn't get as much play on U.S. airwaves, though it does get play. It just
here in New York,
get, like,
we get
say,
a ton.
Like, say somebody like Taylor Swift. Like, this is very close to if Taylor Swift was working with WWE. And as an international artist, you know, Bad Bunny is so gigantic. So I think when we see Bad Bunny, you know, we first think, oh, you know, do you listen to the music or not? Or are you open to that style of music or whatever? But I'm talking about the star power of him. Imagine if Taylor Swift was in the same angle working with Rhea Ripley. Like, that's the magnitude of who he is as an artist. So just flip those names. And that's why this is so giant, because yeah, he just crosses over so many boundaries. And I think you saw that in the main event, because you just go to Twitter and you see people tweeting about Bad Bunny who don't normally tweet about WWE. This is why you do that with him.
Absolutely.
This is probably the biggest crossover match that they've done in a very long time.
Yes. As far as a celebrity goes. Yeah. Huge. Listen, it works. It's working for them. They have the metrics here. And Bad Bunny is not inexpensive to book. I know what his rate is to perform a little bit. He's very expensive. So
if anyone would know, it would be you.
If anyone knows that number, it's me. And I'm willing to bet WWE paid way more than what I know that number to be. So I, you know, it is paying off. And I think it is a benefit for them. Seth Rollins defeated Omos with MVP. This went 10 minutes and 31 seconds. This was the match I had very little interest in. And, you know, they popped for Seth, and Seth did as well as they could. I'm not into this program. I don't like the oddity in size. It doesn't do much for me. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about Backlash and a whole lot more. I want to get everybody's thoughts here of the main event here. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Gary Gonzalez joining me, my co-host on We're Live Pal on F4W Online. I want to pick it up where we left off for the break. Triple threat match. Austin Theory defeated Bronson Reed and Bobby Lashley to retain the U.S. title. What'd you think of this match? It went 6 minutes. Very quick. 6.5 minutes. No, 6 minutes, 51 seconds.
I know you didn't like the Seth and Omos match, but it was just different, right? It was a different style of match, the giant versus the small guy. And I thought they overdid what I expected. But this triple threat was exactly like every other triple threat you've seen in WWE. And it was the one match on this entire show that I was like, no biggie. Like, this is, if you're going to skip one match, it's this. And not because the guys aren't good. The guys are really good. But just the layout of this match, it's so tired and it's so boring when you do these triple threat matches, which is why, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this later, which is why I hate this world title tournament with all these three ways.
Yeah, it was a basic triple threat. I think the upside here in this group is, you know, Bobby Lashley's already established, but it's telling the story of Bronson Reed more than it's telling the story of Austin Theory. I think They have an idea for Bronson. It's a long-term story for Bronson to kind of get him elevated, because he's fantastic. We just didn't get to see much in 7 minutes.
You know, first time I saw Bronson was at PWG, the only PWG show that I've ever gone to. Him and Jeff Cobb.
Oh, big guys.
And they were hitting the corners so hard that I thought the ring was moving. Now, obviously, it wasn't moving, but that building and the way that they hit those corners so hard, it just felt like the ring was moving. So that was my first thought of, or the first time I ever saw Jonah Rock. But in WWE, they got to be careful with him, because he can be the Bam Bam Bigelow kind of guy who's athletic and giant. But I worry about them wanting to beat him to make other guys a lot.
Yeah,
that's my worry.
I agree with you. I don't think he should be beat too often. Rhea Ripley defeated Zelina Vega to retain the SmackDown Women's Championship. This went 7 minutes, 10 seconds. Huge response to Zelina when she came up. Obviously, Puerto Rican descent from Flushing, Queens, New York. She got the big pop when they said Queens, New York. You know, a lot of big Puerto Rican population here in New York, right? I think we know
Big
that.
Pop and the Zarian?
Big Pop and Zarian. Yeah. It was a big pop for me. Queens represent. We need more representation on TV. We got the King of Queens.
No, I love.
We got me. We got Law and Order, crimes happening on SVU that happen in Queens. I mean, we need more. Absolutely.
I thought the presentation of this was awesome.
Yeah.
And you could tell how much it meant to her. The match itself, you know, Zelina's not the most polished wrestler. She played into that underdog babyface role very well. But this was kind of a glorified squash, right? Like,
yeah.
Rhea kind of did her thing and, you know, she didn't really have to sell too much. So the match was what it was. I think the risk in giving Zelina more and in having her do more as the underdog babyface, do more spots, some close near falls or whatever, more close near falls, is just that it's not that good. And so then you ruin the presentation and the spectacle of it. So I thought what they did was good, but, you know, it was pretty clear that they didn't want to risk with what that match could have been if it went longer.
Yeah. My big question is, her uncle wrestled Bruno?
Yeah, that was crazy. I didn't
even know
what that
is. Do we know what his name was? Had to have been
late.
It had to have been a squash somewhere late in Bruno's career.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I have no idea. I didn't know that story. And on Wrestling Observer Radio today, Dave mentioned it, but he didn't break it down like I expected him to. I expected him to go into the 5-minute deep dive into who Zelina's uncle was, but
yeah,
he didn't.
Maybe he didn't know. I'm very curious. Yeah. I'm very curious.
Somebody's
got to
do
it.
Some research.
Yeah, very interesting. Next, we got Bad Bunny, San Juan Street Fight. Bad Bunny defeated Damian Priest in 25 minutes and 4 seconds. It was a run-in by Judgment Day, the LWO, Carlito, and Savio Vega. Listen, this is not a Misawa 5-star match, okay? We're not getting, this is not, the, you know, but it was really entertaining. I thought Bad Bunny did a great job. For the time dedicated to what he does in his professional career to take his time out and to do this and to have a match like he did with Damian Priest. Big credit to Damian Priest, right? Huge credit for him.
Absolutely.
And you know what? This guy, I want people to think about Damian Priest's trajectory in his career, okay? He came into WWE later in age. He's not a young man. Punishment Martinez. Damian Priest is 40 years old. He's been there for what?
Yeah.
2 years? I think he was like 38 when he went over.
Yeah, he's on NXT for a little while before he went to the main roster.
Yeah. He wrestled all around the New York scene. He's a Monster Factory guy. He was in Ring of Honor for years. And I can remember him doing those weird Ring of Honor paid ads for like knee braces and wheelchairs or whatever it was. And dude, 6'5", 250. This guy looks like $1 million, has great presentation. I love a story like that, that now, even if this guy never wins a world championship in that company, right? Or any title beyond this point, he achieved something so humongous and it has to mean so much for him. He headlined, essentially, right? It was a double main event. This was the main event, in my opinion, and it should have been. He headlined against the biggest musician in the world currently in his home country in front of 18,000 people. You know, it's a great feel-good story for him. I hope
Absolutely.
He had a great night. I hope he went out. I hope he went nuts.
You know, after I saw this match, what my first thought was? I wish he could win this stupid Raw world title, because this match doesn't go off like it did without him. Bad Bunny was excellent with his athleticism, with his willingness to do some risky stuff, jumping off the top of stuff and landing on stuff. But he had to have faith that Priest was going to take care of him and protect him in this
match. And Priest did.
And at the same time, Priest knew that Bad Bunny is not someone who's trained. So he knew he was going to take a beating at the same time because Bad Bunny would not be able to take care of him in the same way.
Yeah.
But I'm so high on Damian Priest. Bilingual, giant, can wrestle, one of the coolest looks in WWE right now.
Yeah.
Now there's going to be some folks, and you know, there's a pretentious wrestling fan inside all of us. You know, the second we go, what was the star rating in our brain? Like we're being pretentious. In some instances, that's some people's job. And I watched this match and I was like, my first instinct, I'll tell you, I'll be completely honest here. I was like, maybe Bad Bunny shouldn't be doing so many moves because he's making wrestling look easy. And that was my first instinct. And that's my old school mentality, yeah. Right? It's why Rowdy Roddy Piper doesn't want to take a pinfall to Mr. T at WrestleMania 1, right?
Do you feel like that about Logan Paul?
Very much so.
Okay.
But at the same time, you pull out and go, okay, that's not necessarily what wrestling is anymore. It is to some people, right? To some people who are holding that close. And it can be in some instances. But I then sat back and go, I'm not going to even think about a rating. I'm not going to like critique it like I would critique something else. And I pulled back and I said, this is such a fantastic crossover match that probably made more fans of pro wrestling. Now, how much do they stick with that? Who knows? But they probably had more casual eyeballs wanting to see Bad Bunny than anything else that they've done. And this is from somebody who loves AEW. Like, people are going to say, oh, this Bad Bunny match, yeah, it was entertaining, but it's no MJF and Bryan Danielson at Revolution.
And it doesn't need to be.
It's not.
And it never will be.
It's not what it was meant to be.
But
you can have both. And that's why pro wrestling is great. You can have both and cater to different kinds of fans.
You hit the nail on the head here, right? Because, listen, people know my background, right? I'm in PR, I'm in marketing, I'm in sales. I have been conditioned to know what's good, know what I like, but also take myself out of the equation and say, listen, it's not always about me. It's about growth and seeing what other people are interested in. I've brought this up a couple times on the show, and that garden show that I went to, I brought up earlier today, it was almost like an awakening for me because I got to see how other people are watching wrestling. And having people like Bad Bunny and Logan Paul and Ronda Rousey and whatever else celebrity thing that they've been doing recently, they've all worked. I mean, Ronda was a success for them. Forget about bad writing and whatever happened with her right now. Ronda was a major success. We're seeing Conor McGregor now kind of tweeting stuff out there. These are all things that's drawing a new audience. And you know what? That audience is much younger than I am. My daughter and all of her friends were talking about this. My son's birthday party was yesterday. Guess what all the boys were talking about? Bad Bunny wrestling. These are 6, 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, right? They were talking about wrestling. I have a lot of kids in my family. Over the last, you know, I have cousins, I have nephew, you know, just the ages vary from 5 years old to their 20s. I have never seen the group of kids talk about wrestling the way that they've been talking in the last 15 years. So there is a shift happening with younger viewers. I don't have the metrics. I'm just gauging it based on what I'm observing between my kids in school. I have a very different perspective on this because I'm actually seeing what these kids are doing. This is I'm not comparing it to the 90s, right? Don't take it as if I'm comparing it to when I was a kid going to Toys R Us and buying the figures. But I'm seeing these kids in wrestling shirts. And compared to prior to the pandemic, I didn't see that. I didn't see a lot of John Cena shirts as much as I used to, you know, in 99, 2000, whatever. There is a shift happening. And I do think it has to do with some of these decisions they're making. Wrestling is cool if Bad Bunny's wrestling. More people care.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, that's growth. That's what you got to do. And this is exactly what Vince did in 84, 85. Celebrity influence, rock and wrestling. We're going to come back from a quick break and continue this and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday edition. Andrew Zarian here. Hey, follow me on Twitter, at Andrew Zarian. Garrett Gonzalez, everybody, joining me. Garrett, what's your Twitter handle?
My personal one, I'm not tweeting on that much anymore, but you can at Fight Game Media. Well, it's on the screen there. That's my personal one. But at Fight Game Media is the one I'd rather folks follow. I've pulled back my engagement on Twitter of late. It's not that fun anymore. The Elon Musk
Elon Musk era
makes enough.
You're not the amount of spam that you're getting is clouding.
It's not only that, it's like he emboldens a lot of cowardly trolls, and I just find myself blocking so many more people of late, and I'm like, I don't
responding.
Need to be on here as much.
I'm numb to it, and I just stop responding. Listen, I know I'm gonna go through the next two matches here, but I do want to talk about, dude, Carlito is cool. That dude looks like a million bucks. Years ago, I was told they were interested in Carlito. Multiple times I've been told they were interested in Carlito. I don't know why. Everybody was asking me, why isn't Carlito there? He looks unbelievable. I have no idea. Maybe he doesn't want to be there.
This is why I think Carlito was the smartest person on last night's show. Because he utilized the minutes that he was on camera.
Every second of it, dude.
He did the Apple bit, and then he did the thing that's probably most important to any future employment with WWE, which is he took his shirt off.
He took his freaking shirt off, yep.
And I don't know if Vince was there. I'm assuming he was there, but that was for Vince. Him taking his shirt off was for Vince to go, hey, Vince, remember when I was there before? Now look at how I look. And let's bring in Carlito and let's put him with the LWO. Let's go.
Why not?
Like,
why not?
Waiting for?
How old is Carlito now? Mid 40s, right?
It's got to be in his 40s.
Carlito Colon. Let's see. He is 44.
I remember this is going back to WrestleMania 31 when the first Wale Mania, Court Bauer. Put together this giant show, and he was telling us, because I was helping Dave with the Wrestling Observer, and Court gave discounts to Observer readers for this Wale Mania, the first one. And Court goes, oh yeah, Carlito's here. And guess what? Carlito is now a body guy. And so I saw Carlito that night, and I was like, this dude is giant. What happened?
You know what?
And he's still jacked now, 7 years later or whatever.
I just went into another universe while you were talking about Carlito's body, and I just saw bro, you got on one side, you got the Los Boricuas. Bring back Primo, bring back Epico, have Savio as the manager, and on the other side, the LWO. I just saw it happen. I'm taking that back. I'm not manifesting that. I'm not cursing you guys with that feud to happen on TV. But dude, I really hope we see more of Carlito. He looked great. I want more Savio. I don't care. Savio did his big hook kick.
Yeah.
Loved
he
it.
Should, he should be involved. Right, I mean, he should be more involved. Yeah, let's go.
I got Savio right there. Following this match, we got the six-man tag match. We got Solo Sikoa, Jimmy Uso, and Jey Uso defeating Matt Riddle and the tag team champions, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. This was placed, I don't know, the placement of this was
unfortunate.
All, unfortunate.
And unfortunate. And look, it was a lot of story. So you had to have watched a lot of this Bloodline storyline to understand the match. The whole match was the Usos and Solo not getting along, and Solo possibly he had Jey Uso and he was gonna thumb him into the throat, and he's the guy, right? He's the one who's winning all these matches because the brothers are off their game ever since the Sammy thing happened, and that was the story of this match. So Matt Riddle, I think it was Matt Riddle who took the fall with the spike, but we're getting more Bloodline. So
yeah, two guys.
I'm very intrigued.
Two guys with no shoes in that
there
match.
You go.
That's what my wife said to me.
Why
aren't those two wearing shoes?
And why wouldn't you just foot stomp the whole match, right? Like that should be like the entire game plan. We're just gonna foot stomp you until you avoid our foot stomp.
Dude, step on the foot. Do the wah, 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 wah. You could just do all Three Stooges stuff. Do the poke to the eye. You can block it. Whole thing. I'm into it. Main event here. I don't think this should have been the main event, but because of the finish, it kind of had to be. You kind of locked yourself in the corner here. Cody Rhodes defeated Brock Lesnar in a very... Everybody's like, oh, what a unique finish. Cody did this same finish with Jake Hager during the pandemic era on AEW on Dynamite. Same finish. What did he put him in? It was an Americana, or it was what was the move that he did? Brock to Cody.
Brock?
Yeah.
Yeah, he the pulling the arm behind the back. The double wrist lock, right? That's the pro wrestling, but it's the Kimura.
The Kimura. There you go. Not an Americana. That's a very difficult move, by the way, the Americana. And I Randy Katami at Boss Rutan's gym put me in one, and he nearly broke my arm in half. And I got to tell the story one day. I got beat up by my friend. She's an MMA fighter, and we had one too many glasses of wine. And she has an MMA gym. You know who this is? Spencer. John knows. Spencer from The Bald Truth, right? His wife was an MMA, you know, not professionally, but she did it insanely. And we had a couple cocktails, and she's like, hey, let's go. And I'm like, let's go. And we went really seriously. And I put her in a rear naked, and she goes, you messed up in a very different way. And I said, how? And she goes, my legs were crossed. And she did whatever she did. She tore my meniscus, my knee.
Oh.
I had to be wheeled through LAX back home. My knee was like this big. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. So don't listen. I got beat up by listen, I take pride in it. If I was going to get beat up by somebody, she's the one. She was unbelievable.
No shame in that one.
No shame
I guess
in that
the,
one.
The,
then I got mocked by Randy for months.
Yeah. What did you learn? No jujitsu and cocktails at the same
time? No jujitsu and cocktails with a someone that's been training 7 years with MMA. So my taekwondo skills, you know. I know Bruce Pritchard talks about being in the Black Belt Hall of Fame. I'm a third-degree black belt as well, Bruce. Maybe, you know what? Maybe I could beat Bruce Pritchard. Maybe.
And both drinking cocktails. I think
both drinking cocktails. I think I could take. You know what? That is a sight to be seen. Me and Bruce Pritchard in our kata, doing kata in our uniform, in our gis.
Oh yeah,
that's a sight to be seen.
Okay, so here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Did Brock Lesnar blade, or did he cut himself hard way?
I don't know, dude. He took that. So he goes into the turnbuckle, and they were telling the story with that turnbuckle.
Cody removed the pad. At the same time as he got the suplex, he suplexed on his head and removed the pad and threw it in the crowd at the same time.
Yeah, great job with that. And Brock runs right into the pad, and you know he starts doing this with his palm. He starts doing this, and I'm like, oh, okay, he's gigging, obviously. He's doing something there. I was yelled at by a couple of wrestlers, and they're like, no, that was the hard way. And I'm like, I don't know, man. That line looked pretty. That line of blood looked pretty straight on his head.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the WWE doesn't, at least unless things have changed, like they don't really allow the blading. They think it's kind of barbaric, right? They call out AEW all the time when there's blood, and they try and sick the sponsors on them. But maybe the rules are different with Brock. But I immediately thought, I was like, it's got to be a blade. But then I thought, maybe it's not. Like, maybe this dude is crazy enough to just try and bust his head on the turnbuckle.
Maybe. I mean, I would hope that he bladed instead of, slamming his head on the turnbuckle. But the other thing was interesting is that the ref didn't put the gloves on immediately. And normally, the second that there's a drop of blood, they're putting the gloves on, they're getting the towel. He let this play out.
So maybe that's the sign. Yeah, maybe that's the sign.
I was seeing that as maybe that is the sign. Cody, you know, he took that blood and he did his best to kind of get it in his hair a little bit. If you saw, like, he did one of these.
Yeah.
And then he put it on his chest. And I don't know if he was trying to be a little careful with this. Like, he didn't want to make it blatant. But, I mean, Brock was bleeding like crazy. So, very interesting
stuff. The right place for blood, for sure, in that main event.
You know, unfortunately, we were really excited about the show, so we kind of ran out of time here with a lot of the other stuff that we're going to be talking about. But I do want to talk about the AEW All In sales here to kind of rush the show a little bit. They've done tremendous with this. On Wednesday, Tony Khan tweeted that they have surpassed 43,000 tickets sold with a gate over 5.7 million. This came right after Tony got into a little verbal argument on Twitter with a reporter. Mike Coppinger of ESPN put out essentially that they're capped at 40,000, and there's nothing that that beats a big fight feeling in that building. So essentially saying like, hey, it's going to look empty regardless of this. And Tony did not like that. I can tell you that I was always under the impression or told from a long time ago that their idea was 65 and scale it up. Not scale it to 40 or cap it at 40. That would be insane. Why would you cap something like that? You have room to do more. You know, you're renting the building. You don't.
You
it's
know
not
what
a
the dumbest
space.
Thing about dumbest thing about Coppinger's tweet, whether or not he was asked to tweet that, he was going to be. He could have waited one day,
I know.
Right? Because yeah. it only took them how many days to get over that number for him to be proven wrong.
It took them two like an hour.
Yeah.
It took them an hour to be proven wrong. It did not age well at all. As of Thursday evening, they were at 50,000 tickets. General sale went on Friday, and it looks like they're over 60,000.
Yeah, that was the last I saw of Tony's tweet was over 60.
I spoke to somebody, okay, and I don't want to name who it is because I don't want them to come off as they're wrong, but. This person's estimate was sitting closer to 70 than 60. And this is wow. as of Friday.
That's amazing.
So I think the number's somewhere in the middle. And this is without a card announced. This is nothing. I don't know if this is anticipation for Punk.
No, I think it's just it's the first time in a new market. They're promoting it fantastically as being a big thing. And I think the fans have a lot of faith that AEW is going to deliver. Like, I think
yeah.
that's what it is.
Yeah. Also, in the Observer, Dave noted, further verified what I had been hearing, and that's that the hard roster split between the two brands, they'll be swapping brands. So if you're on Team Punk or you're on Team Elite or the Elite, you are the Elite, you're going to be swapping back and forth. I was never under the impression that this is the CM Punk show. I was always under the impression that this is a, you know, you're on one week, you're off the other, or maybe not. Maybe you continue one week and you're off for 2 weeks on the show, but they're going to be going back and forth.
Okay, but what about this quote in the Observer?
Yes,
those
read it.
With unresolved issues with Punk would be on Collision the week he's on Dynamite.
Yes.
And I told this to Dave on Wrestling Observer Radio. I actually flubbed the John Wooden line. But there's a John Wooden line where he says, famous college basketball coach, he says, it's amazing how much can be accomplished if no one cares who gets the credit. And yeah. that has to be their mentality from here on out. Because that, what I just quoted Dave as, that's not going to work. And it's a bunch of bull crap. And the management and the leadership needs to take care of that situation.
I think they're going to end up taking care of it. Once you get those guys, papers are going to happen. They're going to have to take care of it. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment coming up right after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment of the show. Joined by Garrett Gonzalez. World Heavyweight Championship Tournament begins on Monday Night Raw. The inaugural champion will be crowned at Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia. Two triple threat matches on both Raw and SmackDown this week. The winner will face the following week. The finals will take place at Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia. I don't know how I feel about this title. I'm reserving my judgment of it until I see what they actually do. I don't
you mean the WWE consolation prize world
the consolation prize. Yeah. So does Roman have two titles still? Is he going to walk around with two belts? Is he doing this?
I mean, it makes him look more badass, doesn't it? Like
yeah,
he should.
He definitely, I don't think you should take away the title because he never lost it. So is this a third world title?
I mean, they could meld it into another belt, but. Just let him walk around with the two titles.
Or he is in the mix on this and he could win that title. And now you eliminate one title and he says, I don't want this. And he throws it away. He's the ultimate champion of the world. I mean, you could do something like that. Very interesting.
This interim belt.
Yeah. Very curious how they're going to play this out. We'll find out the next couple days. Firm Deletion. If you guys haven't checked it out, go check it out. It's on BR Live. This is their
uncut version.
It's on BR, and this is a great example of not putting things on YouTube anymore for AEW, and it's going to live on Warner properties, and unfortunately they don't have a place for it yet, so maybe this is very telling.
Hopefully soon
on how they do
hopefully soon.
Very, very soon, guys. I had a blast with you guys. We ran out of time here, so much stuff to talk about, but we're gonna be back next week on a Mother's Day episode of Wrestling Observer Live. For me, for Garrett, and everybody else here, we'll see y'all next time on Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Bye-bye for now.